So I begin this morning, I want to remind us of another special event that's happening this month, and it's over in Tyler. I think about that because I think about some of the possibilities that I know that Mario has thought about, and Viviana, as they go to their new place, that there may be the opportunity of working with Christian homes or orphanage homes there, as well as a preacher's school and all of those things. But I do believe it's the 22nd of October. Is that right, Janelle? For Christian Homes and Family Services Dinner over in Tyler at the Green Acres Baptist Church Complex. I don't remember exactly the room. I don't have that right in front of me. It might be here on this. But anyway, I'm just inviting you and encouraging you. That is a marvelous kind of work that reaches out and does many things that are great in the kingdom of God. And while I know that when we assemble like we are today, and I'm a little emotional like I know most of you are, just because of all the things that have happened, that are happening this morning and that have happened this week. Mario and Viviana have been with us about 4 years. This past week, we lost one of our precious members, Joanne Wright. She has her reward, and I'm not unhappy about that. I want to tell you that many of you maybe that don't know her or didn't know her or maybe know some history, and I'm not the history buff, but her family going or dating back to her mother, Thelma Miller, and her sister, Pat, and her husband, Rex. She became a Berry. They have been associated with this congregation that meets here in this place some 65 plus years. That's what the church is about. And it may be that their family is no longer here to influence in the way that they did while they were here, because many of you have taken their place. But that's what the church is about, is helping people know about eternity. And we're happy about those kinds of great things. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Amen. Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto Him be glory in the church. Travis was preaching my verse this morning. I heard him in here. Keep on preaching too, brother. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And the whole congregation together said, Amen. Amen. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Who do you trust? Who do you trust? There's a recent praise song. I don't know how long it's been out. Don't even know any of you that would know it. And I'm not going to sing it, but some of the lines in it are, "Some trust in chariots." And then the chorus responds back by, how many of you know that song? "We trust in the name of the Lord our God." That's the way they respond. So when the singer says, "Some trust in chariots," well, everybody else says, "We trust in the name of the Lord our God." Who do you trust? I'm going to ask you that question today just to see whether or not how smart we are. Did we learn that? Who do you trust? No, we trust in the name of the Lord our God. That's what I wanted you to say. Can you say that? We trust in the name of the Lord our God. Who do you trust?
We trust in the name of the Lord our God.
Okay. Be ready. I mean, what you... Okay, so you know how to do that. That's a one-word response, okay? Who do you trust?
We trust in the name of the Lord.
In Psalm 37, we are going to read these words. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. No, it didn't say cultivate the fields. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And commit your way to the Lord, and trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. When we have days that can be emotional, it makes us all begin to understand that life to us, life doesn't always make sense, does it? It's okay to shake your head yes. Life doesn't always make sense to us. But we know this, that it makes sense to our God. Because our God is the kind of God who's able to deliver on promises. Now when we face decisions, big decisions in our life, we often just want somebody that's smarter than me or us to tell us what to do. It's just a whole lot easier, right? So we go to that person. We go to that place of reference, kind of information, and look for an answer. What do you think about this? You know, God does have a purpose for each one of us. He has a time and a place, Viviana, for all of us. And I don't know what great things He has in store for you, but I believe with all my heart He has great things in store for you if you trust in Him. Who do you trust? How important is that in our daily life? I also want to add to that statement the idea that God has a purpose for us. I want you all to realize, though, that God is not some big vending machine in the sky or the lamp, the genie-like kind of thing where you rub it and it all happens. That's not the way it happens. Because God created you for a relationship with Him. That's why our verse says, don't go into the land and cultivate it so you can grow more produce, so that you can fatten up the family with all of the... Go in the land and cultivate faithfulness to the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you that even though... We may not always recognize it. The most important thing we ever do is just show up. That's all God has ever asked of us. And you know what I mean by that, as much as you've heard me preach and talk to you about it. Just showing up means when someone needs you, show up. Someone is ill. When someone's got a problem, when someone needs helping out in some way, show up. Be a person that's dependable and accountable so that God's blessing through you can bless the individuals. He delights, God does, in drawing us closer to Him through the questions that we ask Him, through our prayers as we approach Him, and the answers that He gives to us. Now, some of the things I'm going to say here, I'm just going to give you a fair warning that there are no real easy answers to everything. There's no formulas, no surprises. God does have some very specific things to say to us about how we can know what His will truly is for you, for me, and for others. And always, it begins with communication and staying in communication with Him. The better you know someone, I'm going to get out on the limb and say the one you may call friend, the better you know them, the more you are able to trust them. Who do we trust? You'll find that there may be some times when someone you thought was your friend or you considered to be a friend let you down. The better you know God, the clearer His intentions and His desires for us become crystal clear. I'm going to give you just a few quick basics before I really kind of get into the heart of what I'm going to talk about. These are things you already know, so I'm going to say them quickly. But you need to learn how to pray. These are practical things. Pray to know what God's will is. If you're not praying for God to direct you daily in showing Him His will, what His will for you, not my will, not what I want, not where it is I'm trying to go, not what it is I'm trying to do, but God, show me what Your will for me is. I believe God, without one doubt, will reveal it to you. You will be assured about what that is. That's why life is so tough sometimes, because decisions are hard. And because we don't really continually trust in what we ought to be doing concerning Him. You all believe that the one who loves us knows exactly what we need. In fact, the Scripture tells us before we even ask for it, our God knows what we are in need of. So teach me, O Lord, to do Your will. Psalm 143:10. For You are my God. Let Your good Spirit lead me on the level ground. Oh, by the way, you know, if the mountain was smooth, you couldn't climb it. Did y'all get that? Did that go over your head? You know, if that mountain was not tough, you wouldn't have anything to grab onto to get you over it. And that's hard sometimes in life, isn't it? Especially when you're the one having to go through it and deal with the difficulties of it. But anything that brings you closer to God can't be bad. It's got to be good. Because that's what our goal is to be close to Him. Jesus taught all of His followers to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And then imitate the Christ. Live like Jesus. That means finding out who He is. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 state, Be imitators of God, therefore, dearly beloved children, and live life of love, just as Christ loved us, and He gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. It's like Christmas telling us, everything we read, points to the cross, about what Jesus is, who He is and what He does for us. And then get connected and stay connected to the body of Christ, His church. Now, I know that we're creatures of habit. And when we get out of, sync, it's so easy for us to just stay out of sync. You miss a service, you miss another service. You miss a service, you miss another service. I know how that works. If you don't stay connected to the body of Christ, you can't enjoy, you cannot be uplifted, you cannot be encouraged, and you cannot be taught about what the body is really supposed to help you do. Whether you believe it or not, we help each other go to heaven. I'm not talking about taking care of our salvation. Jesus did that. But as humans, like we are, we forget that what Jesus did was all important. And we need somebody else every once in a while to remind us that we can be saved in Him, no matter what my checkered past might be. No matter. I'm not writing anybody a doctor's excuse. Okay? What's that saying? If you're healthy enough to go to the doctor, you're healthy enough to go to work. Stay connected. Staying connected is the lifeline. That's the lifeline to knowing who Jesus is. Because these people are striving to be like Him. Are they like Him? Well, yeah, in lots of ways. They have faults? Oh, yeah. We all do. And then be willing, my friend. Be willing to accept and to act upon what God is making clear to you. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, therefore, this is in Romans chapter 12, and you know this verse, there it is. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good will of God, and that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Will you be perfect? Well, yes, as a matter of fact, you are. You in Jesus Christ today? Come on, let me see them. Are you in Jesus Christ today? You are perfect. Because that's what the blood of Christ does for you. Now, you'll go to work tomorrow and you'll hack somebody off and you won't be perfect to them. They may not even know you're washed in the blood. You may have to tell them. But I want you to know that you need to be willing to act on what is clear. I'll say more about that in another lesson next week. I want to try to just briefly, in just the next few minutes, the fourth quarter is the only one that's important, okay, kids? I want to tell you something more about God. Who do you trust? Some of you were asleep on that one, but that'll... I want you to know that the God that I'm talking to you about is a God who meets our deepest needs when we trust Him. Remember, I'm saying needs. I'm not saying your wants. I'm saying He fills your needs, the things you need to have. And that's what that verse said as we began. Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, Enjoy the safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desire of your hearts. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. And He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. It's a marvelous thing to understand who God actually is. God takes even the things in your life that may seem extremely difficult. He takes the things that seem evil that happen in your life, and He turns them into things that are good. Now, I'm not going to repeat the whole story of these two brothers. They have a long history together. But as it's recorded in Genesis chapter 33, verses 9 and 10, a number or long years, many years after their departure from one another, after the deception that has taken place in their family, after the hurt that has had, they wouldn't come to Christmas dinner to eat with each other. They don't speak to one another. They're too far apart. As a matter of fact, they're such bad blood that they're afraid that they may be killed if they come home. Go read that story about these two boys, Jacob and Esau. But when they finally meet up, and Jacob tries to find a way to appease his way back into his brother's life by giving him presents and goods and all of these kinds of things, he finds that Esau, his brother, probably wasn't exactly what he had imagined in his mind after all. Esau said of the present that his brother was trying to give him, "I have plenty, my brother. Let what you have be your own." And Jacob said, he's feeling way guilty, "No, please. If now I have found favor in your sight, then take my present from my hand. For I see your face as one face, or one sees the face of God, and you have received me favorably." Jim, we know our friend Jim McGuigan. He likes to start lessons off a lot of times by just saying, "Look at you. Look at all of you. Lovers of God. Each and every one of you. Can you look at the person next to you and see the face of God in them?" That's precisely what Jacob was saying about the brother he just knew wanted to get even by having his head. "I see in you the face of God." God can take even the evilest of situations, the situations that keep you up at night, and turn them into great benefits and blessings for you. You remember the story of the fellow by the name of Joseph, don't you? Off down there in Egypt. And you remember how he was sold by his brothers into slavery. When people are cruel and things are terrible, God has big plans. He can take what seems to be great evil and, well, He can from it create what's really good. Joseph, when he met with his brothers, after some tears, of course, said, "You intended it to be harm for me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish the saving of many souls." Now, Viviana, you tell Mario that it may be hard to leave and be out of focus with what you've been used to, but God may be using it to save many people. That's the only way we can look at it. My friend, I don't care what your situation is, God turns these things into good things for us. And who do you trust? These are people who were looking for that trust. You know that Joseph was a good man down in Egypt after being sold. He was a great man. God was with him. But in his relationship with his brother, he was still lacking in his confidence about who he trusted. He just didn't know that God could work something out like that. Maybe you're facing something like that in your own life today. Everybody looks at one another here and we think that, oh, we've all got it together. Some of us do. I was just straightening my tie. That's all that gesture was about. But we don't have it together. Not always. Not every minute. Not every day. I need your help. I need your prayers. I need you to know that I struggle with the same things I struggle with most of my life, just like you do. I only quit preaching once or twice a week. Let that sink in. Like the old fellow said, I left for three reasons. Dumb members, dumb deacons, and dumb elders. Well, that's what all young preachers think. Till you get to be my age and you realize, guess what? You forgot about yourself. We're all dumb. I used to fish a lot on a guy's piece of property. He had a great tank and a lot of good bass in that baby. And he had those stupid range cows. There's nothing dumber than a bunch of cows. When they get it in their mind they need a drink, they don't care what fishing hole you're in. They just walk off down there and they're in that silly thing. Am I right about that? I'm going to tell you something. Don't get in between a cow and her calf. I'll say no more. I can't tell you the rest of it because it's not pretty about me. When trouble threatens us, when God's people need to turn their eyes and their attention to God, that's what we need to do. We need to praise God ahead of time for His solution because God will bring a solution. God can turn the terrible threat into the great blessing of life. Go read about that king, Jehoshaphat. He had a terrible, terrible thing in 2 Chronicles 20 and 12. We have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us, he said. But we do not know what to do. But our eyes are upon you. That was his prayer to God. And I know you've been there. I know you will be there. Who do you trust? You see, God forgives us of our sin. He heals us and He redeems us. He redeems our lives from destruction. He sets His love and His compassion over our spirits and He satisfies us with good. I love this 103rd Psalm. It's just so beautiful. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities? Who heals all of your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? How many have been in the pit? Come on, be truthful. Been in the pit. Yeah, that's what God does. He redeems your life from the pit. Now this has a much deeper meaning than the kind of things I've just alluded to. But who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion and satisfies your years with good things? so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. What a great thing. That was written by King David. Not long after he had some big suffering. God forgives us and He heals us. I guess maybe it's only fitting that we would mention this, because God is able to do more than we can imagine. That's why I quote that passage each and every week. I hope you don't see it as too terribly repetitive. I want it to be in your heart and on your minds like it is on my heart and my mind. And no matter how bad things seem, God holds on to us even when you are at your worst. In Psalm 73, the psalmist tells us, "When my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant." Amen, brother, I've been there. "I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I'm continually with you, and you have taken hold of my right hand. And with your counsel you will guide me, and afterward receive me to glory." Now, our problem is we just think, and Satan convinces us, that you can't change. You can't quit that. And because you can't, God can't save you. My friend, that's just Satan trying to get you to leave. Because he knows as long as you stay, and you're connected, and you're praying to God, striving to do better, He can't touch you. Jesus took care of that. He done smacked that boy down. And it ain't happening as long as you are connected to Jesus. Even at our worst. And Jesus then will promises you life at its very best. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. The abundant life in Jesus Christ. Who do you trust? Trusting in God, because God is on our side. There's no question about it. We have this great passage. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. Book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 28. God is a trusting God. He is a God who loves us, and He loves you. And I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. There's nothing that you've done that Jesus Christ and His blood can't wash you whole and clean on this very day. If you will agree to do that. If you will obey Him. If you will come in repentance, confession, willingness, if you haven't been buried in the waters of baptism, to be so, and to raise and walk in newness of life. And I'm inviting you to come right now while we sing.